Hello, everyone, and thank you for being here. This is Marianne D'Ambrosio of LeadOutLoudNow.com, and I want to welcome you to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. I created or designed this leadership series for individuals in corporations and in business who realize there's a shift taking place in the world and see this shift as a call to action or an opportunity to nurture and lead others to their greatness. This leadership series is about being an authentic leader, and it's exactly the type of development I craved and searched for in my corporate career. You can view this series as The Insider, Secrets to Great Leadership. The leaders that are part of this program are authentic, the real deal. They're heart-based individuals who lead by example and walk the talk. In this series, you'll learn what's at the heart of great leadership and how this can increase your leadership potential by building your confidence, clarity, communication capability, and, of course, strengthening your connection with others. After listening to this series, you may also find an inner peace that will guide you during unsettling times and take you to another level of self-awareness. Today, our guest is Elizabeth Agnew. In 2006, Liz established Integrative Leadership Strategies, formerly Vision Goal Action Coaching, to leverage her engineering background and passion for helping teams develop their leadership skills and communication better. Liz felt a yearning to address the growing trend of organizations in technical fields needing tailored leadership development that spoke their language. Liz has logged hundreds of hours coaching individuals from companies such as Jet Propulsion Laboratories, Google, Hewlett-Packard, and Sun Microsystems. Before becoming a corporate coach, Liz was a project engineer at an engineering consulting firm where she worked as a structural engineer as well as with the firm's recruiting, retention, and performance evaluation efforts. A native of New York State, Liz holds a B.S. in civil engineering from Cornell University and M.S. in structural engineering from Stanford University. Well, I'd like to welcome you, Liz. So glad you could join us.
Thanks, Marianne.
And Liz, as we get started here, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. You mean from a personal standpoint or a little more about my practice? Or?
Either.
Well, let's see. I've been coaching for about 3 years, and most of my clients are engineers and other technical people. I'm starting now to focus more on collaboration and team development, and that's been really exciting. I live in San Francisco. For the last 4 years, I've lived here, and I'm really having a lot of fun building my business.
Wonderful. And you just recently moved, too, so.
Yes. Short,
that must be exciting.
It is. It's a chance. Every time you move, I think it's a chance to develop new habits and kind of hit the reset button on your systems and the way you're choosing to live your life. So it's a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad you're able to join us. And today we're going to be speaking about leadership. And Liz, you've worked with so many individuals that are more technically based from that sort of left brain thinking. And what do you see as the heart of great leadership?
The heart of great leadership. I mean, the first thing that came to mind with that question was listening. And I think it really is about connection, of which listening is probably one of the biggest things. I think if you look at it from a technical standpoint, people so often focus on the skills and the actions of a great leader, but really those just automatically tend to fall in place, I think, when someone's focus is on connecting with the person. We're sort of made to do that as humans, I think. And I've found with my clients that as they're sort of relieved when they come to me and they're able to kind of bring back into their lives that intuitive piece that's all about connecting, because I think it really gets put on the back burner in technical corporations.
So that really leads to, how does intuition serve leaders in business? I mean, these are individuals who are very logical, linear. How did they use that intuition?
Good question. And I think a lot of our training and schooling taught us to ignore it, because you can't use intuition to design a building. And so I say it's really about inviting that back in, inviting the intuition, and just simply embracing that, embracing it, because people, everybody has that ability. And it's trusting it, validating it, and proving that it helps in times. There's some sort of human element that plays into things in a way that is incalculable, I'd say.
When you're coaching an individual and you're encouraging the development of that intuition, what do you say to them, and how do you help them develop that?
I think it's about really trusting it. I'll say things like, what would feel right to you to do right now? Or it's more like I'm listening for how, whether or not they feel personally aligned with what they're describing. And so intuition is simply, do you feel good about what's happening? Does it feel right to you? So they usually have an answer for if it feels right or not, and it's a matter of trusting that and listening to that. I think so many times people are living in misalignment with what feels right to them. And so it's just a matter of opening those doors up and listening to that. There's the listening thing again, in an internal way this time. So opening those doors up, listening to what is true for them, and honoring that, treating it as valid, just as valid as some external rule or what other people think.
And you use the word feel, trusting it, feeling it. And for many times for the individuals in technical profession, they tend to do mostly the thinking part. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say that's right. I fall right on the border of a T and an F on the Myers-Briggs, so maybe that's why I'm able to sort of bridge that gap. And I think, you know, I might be even answering the questions in a way that seems like it maybe isn't pertaining to only technical people. And I think that's part of what I help them do, is realize that they have these parts of themselves. They have the creative side. They have the artistic side. They have the intuitive side. And I think a lot of technical people were drawn to the creative aspect of their work, especially engineers. You know, we're taught in undergrad, or even when we're getting sort of marketed to by universities, were, you know, sold on the design aspect and the creativity aspect. And the sad reality, I think, in a lot of workplaces is that we end up, you know, churning out analyses and basically being productive robots. And so we're losing that side of ourselves. And so I walk into it assuming that they have that. And it's just a matter of reconnecting.
That's an awesome way of looking at it. And I guess I never thought about it. I've been in almost my whole career in the energy industry, and so work with mostly engineers and financial individuals. And so I never realized really from the engineering side that they were kind of drawn in because of the design aspect. So you bring up a very good point. So now it's really about bridging that gap, bringing it all together for them, and it sounds like that's what you do.
Yeah, exactly. Bridge the right brain and the left brain.
Mm-hmm. So the world, the business world, is definitely changing, and it's no longer business as usual. So there really is an immediate need in corporations and in businesses for conscious leadership. What is your definition of a conscious leader?
There is a need, for sure. Well, most literally to me, that it simply means that they're aware. And One way that I've defined leadership is that the leader has the ability to see themselves as part of a larger system, which is sort of like an extrapolated version of awareness. You can see how your role fits into the bigger picture and what you're working on. Also, it's an awareness on an emotional intelligence standpoint that they can see the impact they're having on others in real time, so that they get that feedback from someone else's body language or facial expressions and use that in the conversation. So I would say that the business world is really shifting to embrace more, I would say, more feminine values of intuition and collaboration, and it's not about the pyramid. It's not about the guy on top or the one who gets done first or the one who shouts the loudest. That things are seems to be more leading towards collaboration and listening and openness and all of that.
And are you finding that it's really important to become a leader in your own life first before you can lead others?
My God, I've said the same thing on my website. It says, I believe that everybody is a leader because you at least have to be the leader of your own life. I think probably that's where people first learn to be leaders, this process of individuating that we embark on in our 20s is that practice. So if you can't stick to your own values, and let's just say that that's what personal leadership is, where you know what you want or what you value, and you're able to say yes to that, even if it means saying no to other things. If you're able to do that, if you're not able to do that, how can you do that in the name of a vision that's outside of your own individual life?
That's so true.
And maybe, you know, maybe people are out there choosing things that are aligned with a vision for a company and not doing the same for their life, but I can't imagine it feels as easy or as authentic as it might if they were living in aligned with their values.
I would imagine so, because there's a grace and there's an ease of having that alignment because of the congruency.
Exactly.
You're moving forward in the same directions on all levels. So it really does make it easier.
Yeah, and I can give an example of my personal life of choosing values, if you'd like.
Yes, please.
It's I recently started studying nutrition and looking more closely at my own nutrition, and one of those values is to start buying organic and buying higher quality foods, and they're usually more expensive. So I'll be standing there in the grocery store looking at the organic spinach versus the non-organic, and it's literally double the price, and kind of grumbling to myself, but also thinking, what is my value? I'm spending money on my value more than anything else. And so I'll sigh and I'll say, fine, my value is, you know, the organic spinach. A similar one is buying products that come in bigger packages so that less packaging is needed, you know, buying in bulk.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. So in the short term, it's a harder choice in the sense that you're spending more money. But in the long term, this is a choice in line with my values. And so I think the more someone practices that on an individual level, then what they're the message they're sending to the world is that I live in alignment with my values no matter what the situation is. And so much easier to do that in a business setting where more is publicly on the line.
Mm. And do you find that, at least with the clients that you're working with, that is happening more and more, that they're going back and they're providing you feedback also as to what's happening in the corporation? They're seeing more alignment with values?
They're definitely reporting seeing it in themselves and making choices with their own systems that align better. And yeah, I've did our team facilitation recently where the director's value is to create a culture of collaboration. And so just having me there was a way for him to live out that value. So it's a real trust that that you're going to get more from it than you're putting into it. Because by having me there to facilitate his meeting, he was spending more time and money on that one meeting, you know, trusting that to invest up front in collaboration will pay off in the long run. Same with the individual example of buying spinach. If I invest now, if this is really my value and I know why it's my value, it looks like more investment up front, but the return is higher in the long run.
Now, Liz, if you are hosting a workshop on the art and science of great leadership for a group of engineers and technical professionals, what would you want them to remember and to practice?
I want to say listening again. I would say communication. I think everything's paradoxical, right? But I think one thing that I find with engineers and other technical people is that they come to me with a real craving for efficiency. They want things streamlined. They want systems efficient. They want to stop wasting their time so they can get somewhere. And at first it seems like stopping and doing nothing and spending time getting to know somebody are wastes of time until they can see how valuable that connection is and how essential that connection is. And so it would be that message that the communication and the connection among people, if you boil it down, that's really all there is. That's all that ends up mattering in the world, that people can connect. And so it's remembering that and valuing that.
And we, of course, can see that over and over again now with the big impact social media is having.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think as Generation Y enters the workforce, they're really demanding collaboration and connection. And sometimes it can look like, you know, they want feedback and they want attention, but really I believe that what's underneath it is this craving for making it all about the human connection.
I would, yes, I see that too and agree with that wholeheartedly. Now, an area that I found, at least in working in the technical area, engineering, over almost my entire career, that it can be very, very serious business. And why is it important for leaders to add humor and lightness to their leadership style?
I thought about that, and I think it's not necessarily that they need to add it, but that it will naturally show up when they are aligned. I find that in my really powerful coaching sessions, when things are clicking and the client and I are totally on the same wavelength, that humor and lightness just automatically comes. It's almost like it's a flag for that congruence. And I think the reason it comes in those kinds of situations is because people are at ease and there's flow, and humor isn't what we think of when we think of like a comedian. I think true humor is simply the ability to see lightness in situations, and it's a much more natural form, and everyone has that ability. So yeah, I think it just surfaces when people are at ease. And so the important thing, I think, is for people to communicate enough so that they can feel at ease.
And I found that to be true with individuals that are, when you're really natural and you're very comfortable with someone and you're working with and you have a relationship where you can give and take, provide feedback, that ease and that ability to communicate and that humor and lightness, really, when that shows up, everyone and everything around you lightens up and people just join in, and it's so much more fun.
Exactly, yeah. And that kind of ties back into the way that technical people work. And I think they tend to focus more on content because their content is what they're known for, what their center of intelligence is based on. The thing that I'm teaching in collaboration is that the process is just as important as the content, and I think the process gets ignored or gets ignored, doesn't get made explicit. And so if the process is made explicit, it can allow for people to connect through the process and to agree on the process and to know the process, so they all know not only what they're working on, but how they're working on it. I find that results in people feeling much more ease.
So in what ways can a leader engage people in their organization to be creative, flexible, smart, resilient?
They can learn how to believe that those people already are those things.
And how do they do that?
How do they learn how to believe that?
Right.
I recommend that they just make it up, that they just decide that they're going to choose to see their coworkers or employees as resilient and as flexible and as smart and as creative, because everyone is. Everyone really is, and it's our ability or inability to see how they are that is the important thing. The other key to your question was the word engage. How can a leader engage people in their organization? I think if they're able to engage them, that will naturally result in more creativity, flexibility. And, you know, people are only able to be their smartest when they're really comfortable. And so creating that open communication, creating space for people to give feedback and thrive and get feedback and all of that will, I think, will really do the trick.
So it sounds like when people are comfortable, then they really do feel safe to open up and perhaps take a little bit more of a risk.
Exactly. Yeah, and if the process is really made explicit for the way that people are working together, then maybe there's an agreement about flexibility. Maybe there's an agreement about resilience. Maybe there's something where people are able to really communicate how they see each other as intelligent, and maybe there's space that's created for creativity. So I think when people really step up to design an explicit process for how they want to work together, then they can design these space in for these qualities.
That's interesting. Now, Liz, what words of wisdom can you offer new or aspiring leaders?
I think it would be to kind of to tie back into what we talked about earlier, to choose to live in alignment with your values. I wrote an article recently about time management. It was the same thing. What is true time management? Spending time on that which you value. And same with leadership. I think great leadership is seeing yourself as a larger part of a system, or as part of a larger system. And how do you fit into that system and being aware of that? It's also the willingness to help others develop as leaders. Leadership isn't about you at the top. It's about helping everyone be a leader of their own life and make choices in alignment with who they are and what's going to make them really thrive. So connect with yourself so that you know what you value, and connect with others so that you can help them understand who they are so that they can understand what they value and choose to live that way too. I think if everyone's living in true alignment with who they are, then they can be their best. And if they're their best, then that just has a exponential effect on the what we can get done in the world.
Well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add today, Liz, for our listeners about leadership?
Something's coming to mind. I'm not sure how to articulate it, but to really encourage people to throw away the buzzword, the leadership as a buzzword. It's really not about title or rank or power, but rather about all the things we talked about today, about living in alignment with who you are. And that's a model. That serves as a model. And probably the people who are listening, when they think of leaders they have admired, it's because those people were authentic. You could tell that something about them was allowing them to really be true to who they were.
Well, and thank you for those words of wisdom.
Yeah, I feel like that really gets us where we really want to go. It's in the end, but that gets us to a place where things are important and things matter in life.
Well, thank you, Liz.
You're
and
welcome.
To learn more about Liz and her work, visit her website at integrativeleadershipstrategies.com. This is Marianne D'Ambrosio of leadoutloudnow.com, and thank you for listening to the Leadership by Conscious Design interview series. So long for now, and may the heart-based leader within you stand up and lead. Enjoy your day.